I'm Jamal, and you're listening to Guess in the Mecha, your weekly anime and manga analysis podcast. From inspiring arcs to game-changing cinematography, I'm on a journey to try and make sense of it all, episode by episode. Enjoy the show. Welcome back to Guess in the Mecha, and in today's episode, we are back with the second season. And the first episode of the second season of Guess in the Mecha. So thank you for tuning in. And I also just want to say, first thing, apologies for the kind of unplanned break. I was kind of on the brink of burnout. And so I think if I know I said I'm podcasting next week. Again, I take that back. I'm sorry. If I didn't take this break, I probably wouldn't be here for more than 1 week. So I really just needed that break from just podcasting as a whole for like a good 7 days. So that was quite relaxing, to be honest. I actually read some manga, so that's cool. But yeah, we're back. And in this first episode of season two, we are going to be talking about mecha anime. And specifically, we're getting deep into... I decided to choose violence for this first episode, I'm just going to be honest. It's going to be perhaps a bit of a shorter episode and a more short and sweet one, because I really just want to get right to the point on this topic. And it's this notion that mecha anime isn't about the characters, or at least the common argument that this mecha anime, unlike others, focuses on the characters. And this is something that I think irks quite a few people. And so although I might not be speaking for those people, I definitely want to make a case for why I don't believe that. And so yeah, that's this episode for this week. That is episode 101. I'm so glad I can say it. Episode 101 of Guess in the Mecha. Mecha anime was always about the characters. Just to double down and say it again, mecha anime has always been about the characters. This is a talking point that I think is quite contentious, and again, one I think that has irked mecha fans for quite a while, and I thought it would be a nice follow-up from our Mecha Isn't Dead argument episode, where I kind of took that viewpoint and decided to debate it, and we came to some interesting conclusions. And so I think let's discuss another one of these rather contentious mecha-related topics. As surprise, surprise, we are the Guess in the Mecha podcast, and I speak about mecha like 30% of the time, so let's actually do something productive for once. Let me live up to my name and talk about this amazing genre. I should note that I, of course, am not an expert on mecha anime, I don't have any credentials, not this researcher, anime historian or anything like it. I'm just a guy that likes mecha anime. I haven't watched insane amounts of it, but I really try to get invested in it as much as I can. But I do like it, and I do have my thoughts on it and how this argument is framed, and that's kind of where I'm going to be coming from and approaching this topic today. I don't want to sound patronizing, but I think the first thing we have to do is talk about the and acknowledge that there's a connection between mechas and characters, because a lot of the time they're framed as quite distant things in these arguments, which I really disagree with, and they are extremely close. They are literally interconnected. The phrasing of the sentence immediately makes it sound like there's this complete separation between the two things, like they're completely independent, like the mecha is this sentient being that lives alone. Or obviously we do have some more nuance in those arguments, because there are certain mecha like that will have traits like that, but the sentiment is if they all just live on their own and the characters are just living in their world, when, or at least the people are living in their world, but in fact it's not like that in most cases. Again, I'm going to point out the obvious and say that in pretty much every circumstance, or a lot of circumstances, a mecha has a pilot, and that person is controlling said mecha. Let's take this a few levels deeper and talk about the connection between mech and character, as it manages to infiltrate and manifest itself into anime, and yeah, various mecha anime in different ways. On the perhaps more technical systems-based level, we have famous mecha like Evo 1 and the Evangelion units, with the whole sync rate system and how their feeling affects the mecha in which they're piloting. Again, the two are interconnected. The same if we look at something like have spiral power, which is kind of this measurement or system for measuring the willpower of said pilots, and that kind of translates into human potential and what the mecha can do. There's a direct correlation, of course, between the mecha and the character. The two work together, and how the person is feeling affects how they perform in said battle or whatever they're doing, whatever task they're performing in that mecha. Even though this isn't quite a system, but we can go to categorizations like calling someone a new type in the Gundam franchise, even though what a new type is exactly is very murky, and that's kind of like not the joke of Gundam, but the very vague thing in Gundam. Well, what is the new type? I don't really know. But these quote special sorts of people who happen to perform really quite well in war situations, they directly affect the discourse and battles in Gundam because of said abilities to navigate their way around the battlefield and so on. Just like the other two examples, they are sourced from the character. And yes, it is taking place within a mecha, but you have to remember that the mecha is piloted by the person, and the person's personality and circumstances directly informs whatever they are about to do in that very machine in which they're in. But Jamal, this doesn't have to do with every mecha anime. How can this be the case with everything within mecha? And you have a point, and you're right in this case, but let's take things that extra bit deeper. And I should acknowledge that, of course, when I am speaking about a genre, I can't talk about everything. I can't talk about every mecha anime from the 60s right to today. That is simply impossible for a short podcast like this. But I think we can make some pretty, I want to say profound connections between mecha and characters that kind of goes beyond just time and the age in which, or the time in which they were made. Mecha anime, just like any other genre in anime, is inseparable from its characters, namely because mecha in a lot, not all anime though, I don't want to be entirely generalistic here, in a lot of circumstances they are human constructs. They, when I say construct, that doesn't necessarily mean built. In, again, a good amount of cases they are built by people, but again, don't want to overgeneralize. But let's dive into a much more nuanced version of this and how that relationship between construction and their place within societies, or at least within the world of said show, actually works, and why the two are put very well together. The Pat Labor series is pretty much my new obsession. I say that, but I still haven't watched the second movie, so that's not very good on me, but I will get to it. But the point is that I really love the way mechas affect the society in which the characters live. It causes them to live, of course, in a certain way and do certain things in order to work around things, in order to actually have an efficient life and work this into their daily lives. In the case of the Pat Labor series, the labors are made for, surprise, surprise, labor. At least on the surface level. This already has consequences for the society in which Pat Labor is based in, and Japanese society, as it alters the way in which they live and how we have checks and balances for the labors, hence the need for, well, that's why it's called mobile police Pat Labor. We have the mobile police which keep them in check. And of course, that leads us nicely to the much more insidious usage of the labors being for combat, for just not good purposes. We saw it in the movies more so than the series, but we see it generally throughout this entire series. And I suppose that has some other much deeper metaphors about labor, but that's another podcast for another day. If we go even more micro here and we look at the mobile police team, we can tell that one's personality definitely informs the way in which the mecha is piloted. We have all these different characters that they're just, their outlook on life is just so different. And some of them are louder than others. Some of them are quieter than others. Some are much more smart. Some are a bit off the walls. And as a result, that really just scrambles the way in which this series works, even if we just look at the police unit by itself. What I've realized about pad labor is that whatever way you slice it, it goes back to the people. And there was never really a point where it was just about the mechas or just about the characters. The two are part of one whole. We created the mechas, and the mechas affect the way in which we live. It's a two-way cycle, not one way or the other. Generally, I just love pad labor as a whole, even though, again, I've only watched one movie and the OVA series so far, but I am getting to the TV series and the second movie. That'll be something I do in the coming months, hopefully. But it's really interesting how it takes a day-by-day look at mechas as opposed to, say, how they're involved in wars, for example. It's just really refreshing, in my opinion. But don't be fooled, that doesn't mean that there is, well, one, it doesn't mean that it is only focusing on the characters because mechas take a different stance in this society. Again, they've kind of changed the entire way in which we live, so they shouldn't be seen as the thing we put in the back. It's definitely at the forefront of society and how they live in this show. And also, don't be fooled at the fact that, yes, this is about day by day, but there are things that are pretty big that happen in this show, or at least this series, like the war arc in the first pad labor OVA. At least it's moving towards a war arc, at least. And then, of course, the pad labor movies as well. Like, there is still conflict, there is still drama, there is still politics in this. But you have to acknowledge that it is very much personal. And the mechas play a big part in making it personal in many respects. But Jamal, you're only focusing on mecha anime that only focus on the characters. So of course, you're going to come to this conclusion about pad labor, because pad labor is the one that, it's about the characters. And to that, again, I disagree. Sorry to the imaginary audience member that did say that. I feel like mecha anime, at least if we're going to dive into these quote classics or culture classics, if you want to call it that, like Mobile Suit Gundam, of course, and Macross, I'm not gonna say that I have watched all of these. That's not the point of this, but at least from what I've gotten from these series, from what I have watched, I still completely disagree with this sentiment. These are two mecha anime, I'd say, that usually are pushed towards the other category of, yeah, it's only about the mechas, and then you get people talking about how these were only made to sell toys and so on, which, yes, you might have something to say there, but you shouldn't deny the storytelling power which comes with the characters in this. And again, I go back to the fact that the two are intertwined. It's not one or the other in this series or these series. SDF Macross, Do You Remember Love, is an anime that I actually watched not too long ago, to be honest. And it has a pretty profound commentary on love, of course, it's in the title, but also culture and how that informs the way in which we live. Kind of like how, something I should just point out is that mechas very much become a part of the culture in these shows, and it doesn't sideline the characters or anything, because people are part of culture, and we'll get into that with Gundam as well. And it's the same thing with pad labor. I just took a really long way of saying it. Do You Remember Love kind of says it much more explicitly, that culture is, this is part of the culture in which they live. Even just the notion of a space culture, which this movie explores, and it's a really good movie, I recommend it. This is also a Gundam thing too. The notion of having a space culture and also having a society, or at least many people, conducting themselves in living in this massive mecha, the SDF Macross sort of fortress, is really thought-provoking. And it kind of saddens me when I hear people like use these broad brushstrokes to suggest that, yeah, but it's just the mechas, right? That's why you're watching it, because it's cool robots. But you have to think about what the robot's impact is rather than thinking that they simply just exist to exist. Yes, they are cool. I love robots. Robots are really awesome. And I don't think many mecha fans deny that, but it's not to say that the mecha is the thing that dominates everything, because the mecha is part of the bigger picture of the anime as a whole. If we move on to Gundam, for example, I think the core Gundam fans really know that Gundam is filled to the brim with drama, to the point to which almost every time I'm on Twitter and I look at Gundam related things, it's pretty much always about, Camille doing something really funny or stupid, or Amuro and Char's dynamic. I don't want to speak for everyone, but I'm just trying to say that these are drama filled shows. And I think if you pay more attention to this, you'll know that these fans really pay attention to that side of it, because that's what's also so enjoyable about them. But jokes aside, the characters are what give it its finesse, and it originates from the characters. I don't want to say it only focuses on them. No, the whole thing revolves around people, and all of these, like Gundam, revolves around people. And yes, 0079 focuses on this pretty large space conflict known as the 1 Year War, but it's pretty much all this personal space drama and rivalry between Char Aznable and Amuro Ray, which begins to unfold and becomes what is the center of the Universal Century timeline for the franchise. The personalities are the heart of the series, and as you dig deeper into Gundam and Gundam UC, as I am personally doing, I'm still on that journey. I'm not here to say that I've completed it yet, I still have a way to go, but Char becomes almost consumed by this obsession with Amuro, and kind of reflects that in a way with Camille and Zeta Gundam as well. And it is a very personal series. And that only really becomes apparent if you acknowledge that there aren't these two categories where it's mecha that focus on the characters and mecha that don't focus on the characters, mecha anime that do. But when you begin to realize that the two just work together, like any other genre, the two work together. And it's really beautiful when you take that into account. When we move on to stuff like Gundam War in the Pocket, for example, and Gundam Thunderbolt, at least, which I think is really great. Two really great watches. Thunderbolt, more so for the first season, but take that with a pinch of salt. And I know also that some Gundam fans might not be the happiest with me about talking about Thunderbolt, but oh well, I like this series. And you also should acknowledge the way in which the personalities affect the way they pilot, just like I said in Pat Labor. I think Pat Labor covered most of the bases for this podcast, but I want to make some more specific examples here. In Thunderbolt, this is illustrated mostly through the dynamic between the music and these different forms of jazz. Not too much of a jazz expert personally, but I can tell the difference and the dynamic between the two and how chaotic and different they are. And that is where that contrast and interplay between these two main characters, or at least two pilots, comes in. Same goes for the lighting as well. And I think we should also move away from thinking that focus only depends on stuff like screen time and dialogue and narrative, when it's also a technical thing as well. And if you look at the technical elements, and well, at least the visual and technical elements inside of something like Gundam 0079, you'll see how much the characters are at the forefront of it. And like all these mecha anime, the characters are always at the forefront of them. War in the Pocket demonstrates the way in which the personal ultimately is quite political, and how war by nature is ultimately a personal thing too. It perpetuates itself in our relationships and everyday discourse and rhetoric. We see it through the characters at school, we see them at home, and how war manages to actually infiltrate all of these things. And that doesn't include coercion and fighting, it's just how it manages to seep through things, which is so, again, beautiful to watch in this anime. At least in the case of Gundam, for me, I feel like often people associate yes, you have mechas doing the coercion, but when you acknowledge that why are they doing said coercion, or at least why is said coercion taking place, then you start to realize that it is about the people, it's about these clashing political beliefs. And the coercion through the mechas only comes because they see that there's no other way of, quote, at least reaching said aims, and hence they go to war. That is at least the much more idealistic way of suggesting why wars take place in real life anyway. And just one final point, I think that the line between mecha and person is much more blurry than some of us really acknowledge. And I think that will also help open one's eyes to thinking that it's only about the mechas, it's only the characters, no in between. We kind of alluded to this on the End of Evangelion podcast double special. Do check that out, by the way. And it's really how that line between mech and person, mech and beast, is much more thinner than we thought. And we love, even, yeah, that's the thing. In the case of Evangelion, they really like to try and separate themselves, when in reality they are much more closer to the angels than they actually think they are. And the End of Evangelion kind of tries to explore that through obviously finding the rift, or at least, yeah, find the rift in the absurd and all these other philosophical things that I'm not going to talk about now, because I would be here for a long time, as I did. And I spent about 1 hour talking about it, but I obviously forward you to stuff like the Mitsuo Iso cut in that anime that visually also shows that too. I could probably go through a lot of mecha anime when discussing this topic, and I'm going to try and wrap it up here, because we would be here for a long time just going through lists and talking about how characters in mecha are interrelated, and also how, again, characters are at the core of all mecha anime, or at least pretty much all of them. But I just want to conclude by saying that I think that I don't think it's very smart, or at least I really disagree with the fact that mecha anime is like devoid of any emotional character, like it's this stone cold thing about robots that fight in wars, when in reality the people are tied up in this, and it's very much their fight and their thing, even if it's not a fight, because not all mecha anime is about fighting per se, or at least war, combat, and things like that. I think we have to start taking genre, perhaps, I want to say more seriously, but also less seriously as well. Yes, it's called mecha anime, I agree, but we shouldn't take that as at face value and suggest that it's simply just about mechas and robots and nothing else. But at the same time, we should take it more seriously and understand that genre is profound, and this whole podcast kind of is about genre in a backwards way. Genre is much more profound than what it says on the surface level. It can be hybrid, it's much more, again, diverse and mixed with all these different ideas, and the characters are part of this. All these clashing ideologies and thoughts are what complicate genre, because genre isn't just a straightforward thing to understand. Mecha implies much more than it does at face value, and I think to argue that these ones are about the characters and these ones aren't, those that do argue that should think a bit more about what genre really means to start with. With that being said, that is this week's episode done for this week. I wanted to take it a bit slow this week and go with a much shorter episode rather than a really big one and get burnt out again. So I'm probably going to be going for, I'm going to aim for, you know, the 20/30 minute mark for a few of these episodes before I warm up into things. But thank you for listening so much. If you do enjoy this podcast as a whole and you want to support it and begin supporting this season of the show, I don't have any new support methods as of now, but you can do the very useful and extremely helpful things like leaving a comment, subscribing, liking on YouTube, that is, if that's where you're watching this. And of course, if you are on audio, leaving a review helps out so, so much. So if you could do so on Apple Podcasts, especially if you are on an iPhone. If you're on an iPhone, you have no excuse. No, I'm joking. But if you could do that, that would also really help out this show. And it helps other people find it too. And then they review it and it kind of snowballs. So that would really help out a ton. But thank you for listening. I have been your host, Jamal, today. I have really enjoyed this podcast today. And I'll hopefully, I should be here. I'm not trying to break any more promises. I will hopefully see you next week on this show. So thank you for listening and see you next week. The music in this production goes as follows. Mandatory Overtime by Joth and Synthwave by Alex McCulloch.